We'll get to work now on getting ready for next season. We're very optimistic about this team. I think a lot of people are very optimistic about it. Before we get in, we've got Damon Whitten, the head coach of the Lakers, with us as usual tonight. Before we start talking to Damon about the past weekend and the future of this team, I want to remind everybody about the Blue Liner Banquet coming up on March the 31st. That's a Thursday night, less than 2 weeks away. It's at the Sisler Center, 6:15 p.m., $20 for adults, $10 for kids 5 to 12. And you can buy tickets in advance at the Norris Center Information Desk, which is just outside the Student Activity Center in the lobby of the Norris Center. And you can also buy with a credit card. You can call 635-2602 and line up your tickets in advance. That's 635-2602, and we'll talk more about that. As we move along here, we'll be paying tribute to our six graduating seniors that night. Worth the price of admission just to hear Austin McKay make a speech that night, because they'll all have to get up and talk, and it becomes very emotional for some of them, and it's a great night to pay tribute to these six young guys. And Damon, let's get into it with that right away. We paid tribute to these seniors a couple of weeks ago now with Senior Night, which is always a nice affair after the game against Northern Michigan. And now we are going to pay tribute to them again at their annual banquet coming up at the end of the month.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it'd be a very tough class to replace. They've done an unbelievable job in leading this team. And, you know, I think when you look at the preseason polls and you look at what we went through last year, there weren't many expectations from people outside of our program of what they thought we could accomplish. And I don't think we would have done some of the things that we were able to do this season without their leadership. There's no question about it. So obviously, you know, the three of them that wear letters, Eric Draplick and Bryce Schmidt, our assistant captains, and Austin McKay, our captain, are easy to recognize because they're voted by their teammates to wear the letters. But it started last summer with us. We tried to do some, I guess, leadership enhancement as a team and as a senior class that lasted through the summer. We actually got derailed late in the summer and never quite finished up because when Peter Aubrey took the job with the Blackhawks, it kind of threw us off a little bit. So even there, they were able to take a little bit more ownership of this team and kind of, you know, work on enhancing their leadership ability. And we read a book together called Turn the Ship Around, and obviously pretty fitting for what we are going through, what we're trying to do. So I thought, you know, that was a pretty good prequel to what we needed from that group this year in terms of in the locker room and off the ice, and they did a tremendous job. So they'll be missed, and I think that's one of the biggest things in you know, I guess all sports, but certainly college hockey, where you know you lose a class every year, you know, at least that group of seniors. You never know how that next leadership group is going to work out. I think we have a lot of very quality leaders in our locker room, but you never know how it's all going to come together until this new group starts to shape and form. And you know, the kind of the hard and cold part is it happens right away. You know, we'll start with a meeting tomorrow with just a returning group to start putting those pieces together and developing the next leadership class and group. But this will be a very tough group to replace, and they did a tremendous job for us this season.
Yeah, and again, that banquet coming up at the Sisler Center on March the 31st, that's a Thursday night, and everyone's welcome to go to that. You got to have a ticket, of course, but you don't have to be a Blue Liner to go, but it'd be nice if you join the Blue Liners, too. They do a lot to support the Laker hockey program. This past season, Damon, let's kind of wrap up things here. We'll talk about the past weekend, which was pretty exciting, especially on Saturday night. By the way, the Players of the Week have been named in the WCHA, and DeGordy Dayfield is the Defensive Player of the Week for the second time this season. He only had 122 saves on the weekend, 57 of them on Saturday night. He averaged 43.33 shots per game and stopped 40.67 of them. Not bad. And he had a 93 save percentage, not almost 94, 938 was his save percentage on a weekend.
Yeah, and that's just a small notch above what he was in the regular season, where he ended up leading all WCHA goaltenders in save percentage. And you know, to me, that's a tremendous stat. You know, I think if you're, you know, Jamie Phillips or Cole Huggins this year on a number one ranked team, that you have a little bit more support in front of you to do those things. But to do it on a team that ended up in seventh place is really unheard of, and just tells you how important he is to our team. You know, Terry Barbo did just a fantastic job with all three of our goaltenders this year. And, you know, we've talked a lot about as we came down to it, we were kind of platooning those guys for a little while there. And Terry felt like, you know, for the best of our team and the best for the individual to establish a number one goaltender again. And obviously, Gordy was the guy. guy and responded extremely well. But, you know, Terry gets a ton of credit for what he did with that goaltending group. And, you know, and obviously Gordy is a well-earned any accolades he gets. And, you know, probably more deserving of a third team. He made the third team all WCHA team, probably should have been second or first. But again, when you're a seventh place team, sometimes it's hard to get those accolades.
Yeah, he sure got him on Saturday night, though. What a job he did in that game. He was just spectacular between him and the guys covering up on the back door for him and everybody helping him out. That was one of the more exciting games. And, you know, a little bit of magic there, too, because it gets everybody excited. You pull off a victory over a team you haven't been able to beat. And you did that two times in the last 2 weeks. You beat Ferris State for the first time in about 8 or 9 years down at Ferris in that second game down there. And then you finally get the monkey off your back with Minnesota State on Saturday night. And that was just a great team effort.
Yeah, well, you know what? There's no question. We're not where we want to be. I mean, obviously, we have higher aspirations and bigger goals ahead of us. And, you know, we feel like we're moving in a very positive direction towards those. And it's really important to get some of that stuff out of the way. You know, when you're going in there again and, you know, our guys, you can't avoid it. You check out the Facebook things and then the Twitter and some of the media messages and you hear repeatedly, hey, we've never beat Mankato. So those are important to get out of the way. The Ferris stat, no different, you know, going up to Fairbanks and sweeping Fairbanks, and that might have been the first time ever as well. So there were some important things we achieved as a team just to get them out of the way and set the table for where we're going and the direction we're headed in. And so those were big alone, but obviously we gave ourselves a chance to extend that series and punch a ticket to Grand Rapids, which was a big goal of our team. And I think it hasn't hit me for sure that the season's over. I feel like we're going to jump on the ice here tomorrow afternoon and continue to improve and climb and get better. You know, in our last 10 games, we went 5-4-1. And, you know, obviously two losses were the top team in the league in Minnesota, who co-champions this year. So it hasn't hit home to me where I think a lot of years you feel like, you know, you've spent it and you're tired and exhausted. And for me, and I think probably for our team, we feel like we're still peaking and still getting better and there's still more hockey to be played. So it'll hit home over the next couple of days when we're not on the ice with this group of guys. And, you know, it's obviously it's always hard. It's always disappointing. And, you know, changes come every year in college hockey. You can't keep a team together and a core group together. But, you know, we're playing our best hockey. I don't know about our best hockey. We're playing very good hockey. We were happy with the way we were playing. And I think if you back it up before those 10 games, really the only reason there's a little bit of bump in the road, and Rich Mitro was talking about it yesterday as well, like, you know, we're playing our best hockey. He said, I'm not sure that's true. I think, you know, you look at the two series before that, we played four games on the road two at Mankato, two at Michigan Tech, the top two teams in the league. You know, certainly the Tech games were games we were right in there, and in Mankato, both nights we had good starts and, you know, some bad turnovers that led to some goals, and those things really got away quickly. But I don't think we are really far off in those environments either. And then when we kind of popped down to you know, the next tier of competition teams we were around, you know, we went, like I said, we were 5-2-1, I guess, before we hit Mankato this weekend. So, you know, we like this team. We like where we're headed. And obviously when you look on stats on paper, we return the majority of our leading scorers and things like that. And obviously Gordy Dayfield and net, and, you know, guys got a ton of experience and opportunities this year to develop. So we'll still be, I guess, heavy with our underclassmen next year, but they got a ton of experience and a ton of development in the situations they played in. So we're really excited about where we're headed and what we're doing. And like you said, you know, the win Saturday night helps provide part of that. But I think that's who we are, and, you know, for over the course of the season, and that showed as we wrapped it up.
You know, earlier this season we talked a little bit, I think it was on this show, but we also asked the question in a pregame interview at least once about maybe you being able to make a little bit of a comparison between this Laker team and the Michigan Tech team that you were an assistant with for a number of years, and how they kind of compare at the same point in trying to build it back up. And, you know, I think there is a good comparison here, because when you look at our freshman class, you got a guy like Gage Terrell in there, who was the second leading scorer among rookies in the WCHA. Mitch Holtz was right behind him, and Nellis was right with him. And you got Cuglietta right there, and Hedrick. They were all up in the top 10. That says a lot about what you've got for the future at Lake Superior State. To me, Gage Terrell's kind of like, he could be very much like an Alex Patan. He's kind of that same kind of guy. He's got that skill, and he could be a really, really good player by the time he's a junior.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think he's extremely gifted player and, you know, impacts the game night in and night out in a lot of situations. So, you know, when we talked early on, he had two upper body injuries that he missed some games with, and then when he was playing, he wasn't 100%. And so I think his his numbers would have been a little bit more improved, and his comfort level would have been a little bit further along had he not suffered those early on, those first few weeks. So he's going to be good. You know, these guys have had good years, and now it gets even tougher. You know, our expectations for them is going to rise. You know, if any of them are sitting there thinking, hey, it's going to be easy, I'm going to come back next year and have this great year, that's not how it works. You know, they'll be targeted more next year. I think we're not going to creep up or surprise people as much next year. So we've got to have tremendous summer and have a focus. And we'll spend a lot of time on that with this group, talking about those things through exit meetings, through team meetings, and things like that. But I think there are a lot of really good pieces in place. And, you know, when I look at Gordy Diefield and Nick Kossoff, we had a sophomore at Michigan Tech, Phoenix Copley, who signed after his sophomore year. And obviously we all know what Jamie Phillips has done the last couple of years, but I think Gordy and Nick have been, you know, more consistent that early on in their career. I think their numbers are ahead of where those guys are at, and those guys are tremendous goalies. But we've really got a lot of really good pieces in place. And like I said, the excitement level around the team is really high. You know, we're not where we want to be for sure. And we understand that. And you know, nobody's patient. We want to be there today, but we are really excited and encouraged about where we're heading and the pieces we have in place.
Yeah, and I think that all it stands out. It just jumps at you. This team has more wins than it had last year. In fact, more wins than it's had in quite a while. Fewer losses. You finished seventh, not ninth or tenth, where you were predicted to finish by both the coaches and the media. Your power play is much improved. Your penalty kill is much improved. In fact, double-digit stats improved in the PK. You're scoring more goals and allowing fewer, although goal scoring is still a difficulty because we rely on young people to do that, and they're not that experienced yet. You took Minnesota State to three games in this series this past weekend. You won 2-0 on Saturday night, and you beat Ferris State down at Ferris last weekend. So, you know, to me, this is all these are things you measure by, and they're definite improvements. This team's on the way up.
Yeah, well, like I said, we agree. I mean, those are all, like you said, positive stats, and we like the direction we're headed. You know, but there's a ton of work ahead of us. You know, we've got to do things a lot better in a lot of areas. You know, these returning guys have to take a big step. They have to have great summers and push themselves. You know, I think we're going to talk recruiting later on in the show, and we feel like we have guys who are going to step in and you know, push for spots high in the lineup, high in the back end, all over the ice, and that makes us more competitive and in a deeper squad. You know, I think we talked a lot about as a staff that we were, again, as we can get deeper throughout our lineup, it'll take some minutes off a guy like Gage Trell and Mitch Holtz, who we use on the power play, penalty kill, 5-on-5 major minutes. So it'd be nice to reduce their minutes on the penalty kill in particular, so they can be more impactful on the power play and 5-on-5 at times. So, you know, there's a long way to go. There's no question about it. But, you know, as you just mentioned, there are a lot of positive things that went on. And I think a lot of things we can build on and continue to grow with that'll really get us to where we want to be. And the expectations are certainly going to rise with that, I think, not only from within the program, but outside of the program.
Now, what about, let's talk a little bit about what you would do this spring now. What would be the typical thing the rest of the time that you have these players on campus? They're in class, et cetera. They're taking care of business there. You get an opportunity to get in weight rooms, I guess, and work and set goals and all that sort of thing. Is that what we look for the rest of the time that they're here before they go home?
Yeah, you know, it'll start tomorrow. I mean, obviously, we just got back this morning, so the guys got to acclimate a little bit. But tomorrow we'll meet with the returning group. The seniors will meet in the morning individually and you know, figure out some of their plans and try to find them some teams. I know most of those guys want to go play right away if they have that opportunity. But in terms of the returning players, we'll meet our normal time. We'll weigh in with the coach. You know, we're right away tomorrow. We'll get their, you know, their official weights. We'll call it right after the season ends. So that'll be our benchmark where they're at. They'll have the rest of the week off in terms of just rest and recovery. We'll use next week to repeat all of our springtime testing. So again, we have a baseline where they're at postseason. Tyler Dobritz will run all of that, you know, anywhere from bench press, pull-ups, all that stuff, VO2 testing, which is, you know, not an easy test, especially after a long season, but they're going to have to get on a treadmill and run their peak VO2 numbers, and that's not easy to do. But again, it's a big benchmark for us and where we're at this spring now and what they're going to do to improve that number next fall. So those are important numbers for us to collect and track and maintain over the course of their 4 years. So from there, and then they'll have 1 week of that, and then right after that, we get right into our strength conditioning program. We'll start back up. It starts not full into it. It's a little bit more of a corrective phase to get muscle mass back, built back up. Any kind of injuries or imbalances that have crept in throughout a long season. So you're not able to just jump right into it. Tyler will do a very good job making sure our base is set and guys are bodies are where they need to be before we jump right back into it. But again, expectations will rise there as well. We have some guys that are great in the weight room and some guys that need to catch up to those guys and raise the standard.
All right. It's going to be interesting. We'll see how that develops. We'll talk more Laker hockey on the Laker Hockey Show. I want to remind everybody that you can hear Hockey North tomorrow with Randy Russin, his program at 5 p.m. right here on ESPN Radio. And our final Laker Hockey Talk program will come your way this Wednesday morning at 8:30. And yes, we will make sure that this program gets podcast this week, too. We understand there's been some problem with that. We'll be back with more from the Antlers Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. All righty, we're back at the Antlers, and one thing we haven't mentioned yet tonight, it's still light outside. It's gotten to that time of year. We pushed the clocks ahead on the weekend. We're going to have light all night tonight. This is great. We love it. We got a good crowd on hand. We want to thank all these great fans for being here. We've had a lot of these people here every show all season. It's good support for us and makes it fun to do it. Nice to have a live audience. We got some questions tonight for the head coach of the Lakers, Damon Whitten, who's here. And a number of them center around things that are happening. In fact, we just kind of asked about one of these, what's going to happen this spring regarding players. There's a second half to this one, though. It's what sorts of things does the coaching staff do this spring? What do you get involved in? Do you get out and see players? Do you go see people that you've already signed to make sure they're coming in and that they're happy with what the situation is, all that? What do the coaches do this spring?
That's a great question. I wish I could tell you we'd catch our breath a little bit and save our marriages and things like that. But Doug Holloway will jump in a car tomorrow morning and head down to Ontario. There's a big important tournament down there. So Doug's headed out already. Rich or I will be headed out later this week, depending on how our exit meetings go with our returning players. Obviously it's something I feel like I need to be involved with those. And so if we can't wrap them up in time, then we'll probably have Rich head out. And, we want to get eyes on some of our guys as well. There's still some of these guys that, are they coming in next year or a year out? So we'll try to do a late swing and watch most of our committed guys. And then obviously we're still looking, if we can make our team better in any area, we'll still look to address that. And not many of those guys are uncommitted, but there are still a few uncommitted impact players out there, and so we're involved in them, and that's very tough competition because everybody's looking to try to upgrade their team. Some teams are starting to say, hey, there's been a couple signees. Maine lost a junior defenseman. UNH lost a sophomore forward. So those early signees are starting to happen. And so there's a competitive market for sure for any top impact player out there, but we want to be involved there. So we want to get out and spend some time on some guys. And there's some people that you just want to spend time with and have that relationship with to help you in the future. So that goaltending issue is still out there as well. So we'll be out there. We'll be active over these next few weeks as all the junior leagues are wrapping up. Obviously, everybody locally, I guess I want to be careful. I won't name teams or anything like that, but there'll be some hot action around here to follow. And, we didn't get a chance to see a lot of that throughout the year. So it'll really give us a chance to follow any local guys still in action here. So we'll look forward to doing that as well.
All right. Another question here. Do we have any players on the Laker team right now that we know about are going to sign pro before they graduate?
I don't know if they mean seniors or not, returning eligible. I'm not sure what they mean.
I guess it would be anybody.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously the seniors, most of those guys would like to go play and it will help any way we can. And it sounds like one guy's close to figuring something out as well. So, obviously we hope they'll be able to work with their professors to make that happen, to go play and still finish up. They're all on track to graduate, which is fantastic. There's no underclassmen that we've heard of yet. That doesn't mean it's not close to happening or might happen without us knowing about it, because that can certainly be the case as well. And that's why exit meetings, we'd like to try to get right away. And so you're not blindsided, and it will help. If guys feel like they're over ready or there's an opportunity that they want to pursue, then at least we can help them out or give them advice or see our side of it. I think the situations I've been involved with some really good players and good people and kids who want degrees, you just don't win that battle much anymore. If a kid has an NHL offer in front of them, you know, to me, 9 times out of 10, they're going to take that offer, and they've worked their whole lives to make that happen. So, but we'll certainly try to do our best to educate them. And you look at the numbers of what College Hockey Inc. puts out. If you sign before your junior year, your chances of making it are so small. So, you know, most guys have the best bet at least get through their junior year before they sign a pro contract and try to make that jump. So we don't know of it. That's a long answer, but we don't know of any of the underclassmen yet. But we'll meet right away, and we'll see where those go.
Yeah, you never know for sure about that stuff. I saw a number of professional scouts in the building on the weekend, especially Saturday night. You don't know what they're doing. They could be calling guys behind the scene. You'd like to think they would call the coaching staff and ask if they can talk to certain people, but they don't always do that, so you can be surprised by just about anything at any time. Some other questions we have here tonight. There are a couple that are purely comments. One we've kind of already hit on, thoughts on this year's season, how far this team has come since last year and what you're looking forward to. We've kind of talked about that a little bit. It's been good, and we're thinking it's going to be better, but as you say, and coaches are always careful with this, these guys better not think they got it made, because that's not the case.
Yeah, it's funny. It can bite you really quick there. So no, but we'll be on that again in our exit meetings. It'll be challenging. Expectations rise. You know, for you take Gage Terrell or Mitch Holtz or Gordy, whatever it is. You know, as soon as you think you've made it, you're in big trouble, because you're either getting better or you're getting worse. So you know, we'll be challenging to our guys, and we have an expectation that we drive forward, and we need those guys to set the bar. You know, we have some guys who are great in the weight room, and we expect them to lead it, and grab guys who aren't great in the weight room and make them follow along. So it'll be a very healthy spring and a challenging spring. And, you know, again, I think there's a healthy and positive mood around the locker room, which always helps. And, you know, we'll look to harness that and go from there. And I just want to back up your NHL point. And like you said, there are some franchises and organizations are great. They reach out, hey, I'm coming, can I stop in, and have that open dialogue. Some of them don't contact you at all. And, you know, I guess from our point of view, it's always nice just to know, like you said, we're not probably winning the battle. If the Blackhawks or the Capitals want your player, they're probably going to get your player, but it's just nice to know that they're around. And, you know, we have a pretty open door policy. We're not going to try to hold our guys back. And, you know, I've been some places where they don't let the advisors around or the NHL guys around, but to me, it's part of it. You can either acknowledge it and deal with it and go from there. So for us, we always appreciate when guys are around and, you know, give us a heads up so that we can help them. And, you know, we're in the front side of things and know what's going on.
Did we have any injuries on the weekend? I know JT Hinkie went off. He needed help to get off the ice the other night in the third period of the last game, the game last night. And then Jim Rohl was kind of all bent over there. Looked like he may have been speared or caught a stick or something in the midsection. Anybody get hurt there?
Yeah, Jimmy was okay. I mean, part of the heat of the game. I mean, he got hurt, but nothing he couldn't return from. JT did not return to the game. It doesn't seem to be anything long-term or overly serious. You know, had we played again, or, you know, I guess it'd be a question mark for this Friday if we were still playing, but it doesn't seem to be anything more long-term than a week-to-week type thing.
Couple questions about media here. One of them, the show was not podcast last week. I think that's just because there's one person who does all that stuff at the radio station, and you know, the workload there is incredible sometimes, and he just didn't get to do it. But we'll make sure this one tonight, since it's the last show of the season, gets podcast. It does take as much time as the show is long to get it put up. You got to upload it, so it does take a little bit of effort on somebody's part, and they got to pay attention while they're doing it. It just didn't get done last week. Also, there's a question here about the follow-up in the Sioux News, and we don't have a thing to say about that. There's not much we can do about Saturday night's game. There was nothing in Sunday's paper. Probably a little bit late of a finish there, with it being out west, et cetera, for them to handle that. But I don't think we should even comment on something that the newspaper can or can't do, because we don't have anything to do with it. So that's just tough luck right there. We're always happy we're there to do things live so that you know exactly what's going on as it happens.
Well, and I think, too, with that, you know, part of what we're trying to do is do a better job from our point of view, from a coaching staff, from a sports information, you know, that's part of what we need to do, whether it's on this side, the other side. So it's a two-way street. I know obviously budgets are tight over there and no different at our place, but you know, if people have networks or contacts to utilize for us to reach out to, you know, we are trying to make some headway there, and it seems like there's a little bit better coverage, and we'll continue to work hard to hit all avenues and make sure we're getting the exposure that we feel like our program deserves.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of tough stuff that goes on, and you're right, budgets are tough right now. There's another comment here that one of the fans actually drew an anchor and said, thanks for a wonderful, fun-filled season, and go Lakers. And I think that's very positive, and that's how we kind of all feel about it as we come down to the end here. We're going to take our second break on the show tonight. We'll be back. We're going to talk about, well, we'll talk some scheduling, we'll talk some recruiting, and the future of the Lakers here. We'll be right back on our final show of the season on ESPN 1400. Okay, we're back for our third segment of the show tonight, live from the Antlers. It is very light outside the Antlers tonight as we've moved ahead on the clock, and that's kind of nice. I kind of like daylight savings time myself. We've got some questions here to talk about for the future of Laker hockey. We've got a lot of new people who are going to join this team next year. Fans are always interested in who the new players might be. We do have a number who have signed national letters of intent. We can use their names. There are some other players who may be joining us next year who we cannot talk about because they have not signed national letters of intent yet, and we'll leave their names out of things tonight. But we've got, I think Rich talked about these people on Saturday night between periods with me. We've got Luke Morgan coming in, who's a pretty good scorer and a pretty good skater. He's not a real big guy, but I think he's going to add some offense to the Lakers. We have other names there too, Max Humitz. So we've got Brian Basilico. Colin Sackleman, who's a big, strong defenseman, should help us a lot. We've talked about Christopher's Bindulis, the young man from Riga, Latvia. We just saw a young man from Riga, Latvia this past weekend who's a pretty darn good hockey player. I'll be glad when he leaves that program. You can take Gervais and our boy there, the guy I'm talking about, Teddy Bluger, and you can just take them away right now. If we never see them again, it'll be too soon.
Well, and hopefully the NHL comes sniffing very heavily on Nelson as well. I mean, he's so ready to play at the next level. He's a different player than anybody in the league, and one of the best defensemen in college hockey. So yeah, they've got some guys who we'll be glad to see gone. And you know, I was just reading somewhere this morning that Gervais played 160 career games or 161 career games. I mean, you know, and then we're going to go, you know, I was laughing. I think Saturday starting lineup, we had three freshman forwards. And actually on Sunday, three freshman forwards, they put together Gervais, Bluger, and then the junior was up. Well, Mullen, I think, was with them, whoever it was.
But McClure.
Two seniors and a junior. And so, you know, their guy there, Gervais, had more games combined than all three of ours, so probably all five of our starters, really. So it's tough. It's a learning experience, but it's good to go through.
Yeah, they're you know, let's talk about them for just a second too. That, you know, people want to know, well, why do they beat you like that or whatever? You know, the whole thing is they're a really good team. You got to see them play. They kind of remind me of when we played in the CCHA and we were trying to build things up and we weren't a top team yet. And we had to play Michigan or Michigan State back in the 80s, and they were just so much better. They had better talent, and so they were faster and stronger, and they had way more experience, and experience means a lot at that level.
Well, I think you said the experience and the stronger. Like, I thought, you know, on our power play, really all weekend long, we got one power play goal, which was a big goal, and, you know, the difference in the game, a game-winning goal, but just the strength of their defensemen. They skate really well, so they can get to foot races with you, but when they got there, they just won 50-50 battles way too easily. And when you're a junior, senior, and you're 6'2", 6'3", you know, you're going against a freshman who's 25, 30 games into it, that's what happens a lot. So, again, that's where you learn and you apply it to your game moving forward. And we talked as a staff a ton about their defensemen. They've kind of got the best of both worlds there. You look at Ferris's D, they got, you know, smaller, mobile D with good skill. You know, Tech's got a little bit of mix, a couple bigger guys. Cliff Watson's a more defensive guy. Mark Gox is smaller, defensive guy, and Watson offensive. But these guys are big and skilled, and they skate. Like, they're just, their decor is so good, and they make it so difficult. So that's something everybody'd like to mirror and build that way as well. And as we talk about those guys, I'm going to backtrack in a little bit, Bill, with your questions and the comment about, you know, thanks for the great year. And we fortunately heard from a lot of people. And Saturday post game, Darren Maley was texting. I didn't think I could get Trotman off the text all night long. I'm like, Trots, I got to go. We're trying to watch film, and Trots is going back all night long. And Churchman was texting as well. So it was really good to get that support. You know, the kids are following, the people know what's going on, and we appreciate the feedback and the support for the program, and it was good. We heard a lot of that, not only Saturday, but even now that things have wrapped up. I think people are energized and excited, and we share that, so we're looking forward to it. And now we can probably segue to the new guys with that.
Yeah, we do have Morgan, Humitz, Basilico, Sackleman, who's a big, strong defenseman. Bindulis is a mobile defenseman, and that's something we could use a little bit, you know, some size with skating ability and stick skills back there. And then there's Cole Holtz, the younger brother of Mitch Holtz, who is signed to a national letter of intent, but may or may not be here next season. It's kind of up to him and the coaching staff whether he comes in. And there are some others, too. I think Ian Johnson is signed to a national letter of intent, but he may not be here next year either. So
yeah, so we can start with you know, Cole Holtz. And like you said, the way it works, that NLI locks you in for 1 year. Then you can defer it for 1 year if you choose to, and you write a letter letting the NCAA know that you're deferring it. And obviously in hockey it happens a ton now with the way – you know, some of the list out there, I think we were counting one of the schools downstate, I think had 19 players committed, might have been even more, but a full roster of committed players, and it's just, it's unbelievable. So, you know, that's changed for sure. But Cole, you know, probably not had the year he had hoped to have. He's a first-year guy in the USHL. It's been a difficult year for Madison in the USHL, and not too long ago they kind of traded away all their top players because they weren't going to make the playoffs. So, you know, what we'll do there, and again, we'll go see him late, hopefully, and get an analysis. I like Cole Holtz. I think he's, you know, he's what we're looking for. He's 6'6", 6'1". He skates. He moves pucks extremely well. So I think he would be ready to come in and help. But I, at the same time, you know, he wants to be over ready and play an impact role here. And, you know, they've been back and forth as a family if he's ready to come in or another year. So, you know, it's just discussions we'll have with the family. And he'll take our side, we'll take their side, and we'll come to a decision. And part of it's to fit what we have, the spaces we have as well. Bindulis is a 20-year-old, so Christopher's will come in. He's if he's not leading the North American League in scoring, he would be he's tied. He's having a fantastic year. I think he leads the defenseman in goals scored. And I think if you look at the top scoring defenseman, he's like second or third in penalty minutes. For us, we like that. Like there's a compete level there and a bite to his game, and I think that's important. Some of the guys you look at, they have 2 minutes, 4 minutes, and you kind of wonder how hard they play and how competitive of kids they are. So we like that about Christopher. His coach there, Joe Coombs, I've known for a long time. He won a couple of championships and going back to Dubuque in the USHL, and he said that Bindy would have been a top pairing defenseman for those Dubuque teams that won championships. He kind of ran into a tough situation earlier in Des Moines as a 20-year-old import, which is a tough spot to be in. But he's had a tremendous year for a new team out there in Aston in the North American League. So, I mean, the more we watch him, the more excited we become. He's a lot of the things that we're trying to do. He's, I don't know, probably 6'1", 6'2". A lot of people here know him already, but extremely polished skater, very good mobility. The puck is not on a stick very long because he's so smart. He knows where his outlet passes are, so he moves it extremely well. I'd be shocked if he doesn't come in and have some role in our power play and, you know, really push to play major minutes. So we're excited on him. Sackerman's a little bit different, and his offense is starting to uptick now that he's kind of settled in Waterloo. I think he's got about 11 points now, and he's had, you know, probably 5 to 6 of them within the past month or so. He's also probably among league leaders in defensemen. He's one of the toughest, most competitive kids that's in the league. You can Google him and find a couple of his scraps and fights. He sticks up for teammates. He probably leads the league in block shots, and he'll block him with his face, with his body, whatever it takes. He had a nice goal the other night where he jumped up, was activated in the rush, and got a, can we call it, dot lane pass to score. So he can skate. He's big. He's strong. He's garnering some NHL interest late, and so he'll have a chance potentially to get drafted this summer as well. So I think that hits the defenseman, right, Bill?
Yes, it does.
Okay, and then moving, you want to keep going one by one of those
guys?
Yeah,
let's go to Morgan, Humitz, Basilico. They're all the four. And then what's Ian Johnson? What's he going to do?
Well, Ian, you know what? Ian's the same boat. You know, he's having a great year. I think he's he's in the top 10 there in playoffs now. They just started out there out in Ottawa. But he finished, I think, right around the 8th or 9th spot, or maybe 10th spot in scoring. So offensively, he's more than ready to come in. He's very dangerous with the puck on his stick. You talked about Alex Patan earlier. He's probably a guy like that. Like anytime the puck is on his stick, he's a threat to create offense and a danger that way. Size-wise and strength-wise is where he's got to have a good summer and be ready. But he's a guy, again, we'll go out and see late. I think he would like to come in, and we just want to make sure physically that he's ready to play. And, you know, he's definitely more of a top six type forward, so there's got to be a role and an opportunity in our top six for him to fit ideally as well. So we'll keep dealing with that and seeing him late. Luke Morgan is another guy that's slated to come in. Luke was getting a lot of interest late, even though he was verbally committed. And I won't say the name of the school or schools that were all over Luke, but he's a 4.0 student, and there was a lot of schools on him, even though he'd verbally committed. And so part of what Luke wanted to say is, well, these other schools told me they're coming in. And so he's pretty set on coming in next year. And I think he's ready. I mean, now it wouldn't hurt him to go back and play another year. But he's had a very good year and a loaded Cedar Rapids team. I think they're in first place in their division. They'll have a chance to go on a long playoff run. He'll challenge CJ Hayes as our fastest skater. He'll challenge a guy like Jason Angus, who's one of the strongest in the weight room. He'll be a leader at some point here as well. He's a world-class kid. I'm not sure if he does anything besides eat, drink, and sleep hockey, and he's just all in, and he's a very good player. So he'll be a good dimension, too. He'll play a lot of different roles for our team. Max Humitz recently got moved from Muskegon, who was a non-playoff contender. He was on Muskegon's team that went to the finals last year. When Muskegon realized they weren't going to make the playoffs this year, they moved him to Tri-City, who's coached by Billy McCault, who we worked together at Michigan Tech. So Billy picked him up. They're in first place, I believe, still in the USHL as well. So he'll be a guy they'll count on for his playoff experience as well. And he can play a myriad of roles too. You know, he can fit in your top six. He can fit in your bottom six. He's a smaller guy. He's very quick and fast. He gets a lot of shots on goal. His offense hasn't been there as much this year as last year. And I think part of that was Muskegon early wasn't scoring a whole lot. So again, Max will come in and, you know, he should be a guy that can play every single night. So he'll add a real competitive nature to our team as well. Lastly, Brian Basilico, another guy that got moved at the trade deadline. He was in Prince George. That was not a playoff contender. West Kelowna picked him up for their playoff run. I think they were sitting second place in the interior division behind a Penticton team that has two first-round draft picks on it. They just beat West Kelowna just won their first round against Salmon Arm, and they'll meet Penticton now in the, division or conference finals. So it'll be interesting to see that matchup. Brian's an interesting player. You know, 4 or 5 years ago when he was a sophomore in high school, he was being recruited by Big Ten schools for football. Was a very good athlete and a very good, you know, both sides of it, but he was doing both things. And then finally, I think it was junior or senior year, he quit football to concentrate on hockey. He went to the USHL right away as a young guy, and he wasn't quite ready, and it's kind of set his development back a little bit. He's been playing catch up because he didn't play a ton there. But he's a guy, he's a big body. He's a phenomenal athlete. He's got a scoring touch to him. When he plays with bite and with an edge, he adds a really good role as well. He's probably more of a bottom six forward his first couple of years, and then he'll have a chance to work his way into a top six role as a junior, senior, if he can kind of take that step and go from there. But he's a great athlete, he's a big body, and he's a big, strong kid who's willing to play hard.
We're all looking forward to this freshman class next year. You put them together with a freshman class this year. They'll all, of course, be sophomores next year, but you know, the future looks pretty good here. I like a lot of these kids, and I know a little bit about Ben Doulas. I saw him play enough to know that he can play. He can skate and handle the puck, and I hear nothing but good things about most of the rest of these guys, too. And there are some other players. There are a couple that we really can't talk about because they have not signed national letters of intent, and there are some question marks there with maybe one player who's played a little bit of Major A hockey, may have to sit a while, but seems interested in coming in here. I think it's going to create a real competitive situation to get in this lineup, as if it isn't now. I think it's a pretty competitive situation right now. We've got some real good players who have a hard time getting in there, and it bodes well for the future of Laker hockey.
Well, I think that's, you know, what you're trying to do. I mean, I think it's easy if you don't want to create that atmosphere, and then, you know, dealing with some of those kids at the bottom, you know, it's a little bit easier. But you know, I'd rather have hard conversations and drive this thing forward and have guys that are going to push it forward and make everybody better and challenge it. So you know, obviously you know, when you go 3-3 game, or say next year we were home ice and we have that third night, if you can put two or three fresh legs in that are guys that have played 10, 15, 20 games for you, can play, I mean, what a huge advantage. And it makes you better in practice, it makes you better everywhere. So you know, we're excited to add this group with the returning group, and we think it will continue to you know, move us forward and get us to where we're trying to get to in terms of that home ice and playoffs and you know, the Final Five and an NCAA berth at some point.
It sounds good. The future looks good. Those are a number of very good players coming in, and there are others who will probably join us next fall as well. Kind of makes you wish it were October again and we could get started all over again instead of the month of March. And we're just going to wrap it up here. We're going to take our last break on the show tonight. We'll come back. We're going to talk a little bit about the schedule, such as we know about it for next year. And we'll do that right after this from the Antlers on ESPN 1400. Well, welcome back, everybody. Our final segment of the show tonight from the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. We want to thank the Antlers and all our other sponsors. They do such a great job making this show possible. And the sponsors we have on Wednesday morning, and certainly we had more sponsors on Laker hockey this past season than we've had in a long, long time. We want to thank all those folks too. This town gets up and helps out. You can't put things on the air if you don't make money doing it. It's a business, and those people are invaluable. They step up every time, and it makes Laker hockey possible on the air live every game. So we appreciate that. We're going to talk a little bit about the schedule, such as we know about it. I think Damon and I are both in the dark on this thing. The schedule for the league is pretty much put together for next year. We're not positive about all the things there. We are thinking that we play a Minnesota State, for instance, here next year and not there. We probably, I'm sure we go to Huntsville. We don't play them here. We may play them both places, but we definitely go all the way to Alabama, Huntsville next year to play. We also have some interesting things coming up. Michigan State is coming here to play two games in the month of October. That'll be exciting. I think they were here a couple of years ago, so Michigan State's been a real good partner with us over the years, and they are going to come up here again next fall. We think we have a Thanksgiving tournament, the Shillelagh tournament, with Notre Dame involved down there. There's a rumor we're going to Omaha. I don't know if that's true or not, and Damon doesn't know for sure if that's set. If we do, it'll be after Christmas. Is there a Christmas or a holiday tournament of any sort next year?
No, we don't have that next year, and so you hit on a lot there. But certainly, you know, next year is the 50th anniversary in terms of season to season as you look to celebrate it. So it's a huge season for Laker hockey. And the Great Lakes State weekend will be Michigan State, and so that's a big weekend. We're working with our hockey alumni right now to do a little bit of a gift for them in terms of a mailing, and then looking to raise a few funds to do an arena enhancement project. And we're pretty confident that'll happen, and that would be unveiled that Great Lakes State weekend. So, yeah, and we're looking to do some other things along with the Blue Liner golf outing that we'll have this summer. We're hoping to really enhance 50 years and to get some of our alumni back. I know we have a select few hockey alumni that are taking some ownership into that and trying to promote this and build this as best we can. It's always tough in season because a lot of these guys are coaching their kids, or, you know, if you're Doug Waite, you're coaching with the Islanders and things like that. So some guys will not be able to get involved. You know, the guy's still playing, but obviously it's a huge season for us, and that'll be a great weekend to celebrate 50 years at Great Lakes State weekend. That'll be kind of the crowning achievement in terms of the celebration of 50 years. We'll do that. Bruce Hoffert's being inducted to the Hall of Fame that weekend as well. So it'll be a big weekend that way to celebrate 50 years. We are going to Omaha right after the holiday. It's not a holiday tournament, but we'll go to Omaha right after the break to go down there. I'm half brain dead today with the overnight bus trip, so I should know a little bit more, and I wasn't fully prepared. We have worked with Michigan to set up a series over the next few years. The way scheduling is done, you know, you're a few years out. So we're going to go, we have a 3-year series set up. They'll be here. I can't remember if it's 17, 18 or 18, 19. There's a break in there as well because we couldn't work out common dates in there, but there'll be a back and forth in Ann Arbor and U of M coming up and us going down there as well. So we've got a couple things working out. We just worked out a series with Wisconsin as well. So we'll go down there and play a series at Wisconsin. We're working on some return dates for that, or potentially green Green Bay. So we're looking at trying to finalize that thing as well. But I think that's mostly it in terms of our non-conference. As you said, we do have a trip to Huntsville early in the season. We have a late trip to Fairbanks, but we finally only do Alaska once. The problem is we come back from Fairbanks and we go on the road to Northern Michigan. It's not supposed to happen. You're always supposed to be home when you come back from Alaska. So we'll work with some coaches around the league to see if we can shift some of our things around. I don't know if Walt would be willing to help us out and switch our series there, but we'll look at doing some shuffling, and that's why nothing's released yet. When we get down to Florida, we'll work amongst ourselves as coaches to see if anybody wants to change or if we can make some adjustments in our scheduling. Again, you know, we'd love to. We don't think it's right that we have to go to Fairbanks, Alaska, come home on Sunday, late Sunday night, then leave 3 days later to go on the road again. It's supposed to be a policy we have in our scheduling to be home after you travel to Alaska. So we'll see if we can get accommodated and make a schedule. So maybe our northern weekends will flip if Walt's willing to accommodate that or stick handle something else to make some things happen. So that's why we're waiting.
I want to ask about one thing here. You mentioned Wisconsin in there. Is that are we going to play Wisconsin this coming season, or would that be in the future?
Well, that's a few years down the road. That might be 18, 19. So, again, things are scheduled out down the road there. So that's a little bit ways down the road. And, we still got some work to do. You know, I think we talked earlier on, you know, Mel and I have talked about, like Walt and I did, like us in Northern Michigan did this year, a non-conference early season. I think we played more games or as many games as anybody in college hockey. And I think we played at least two more games than most teams. And so, you know, we're kind of contemplating drawing it back a game or two just because of the wear and tear and the travel. I think it worked pretty well for us this year being a young team and what we were trying to grow and develop to. But I think as we move forward, you know, and I think Rich talked to Bobby Daniels down there, and, you know, Bobby was saying, I'm not going anywhere out of the Midwest. I'd rather not play than try to find a way to get to Vermont, or, you know, it's just so difficult on the bodies over the course of a long season. You know, our league travel is bad enough as it is. So we're looking at some of those things as well, and in figuring out, you know, it's always a challenge to get home games, and we continue to work on that. But we do have a couple of weekends we're still working on, but it's late in the process, so matching up weekends this late is getting difficult.
Okay, we're running short in time here tonight. Our last show wrapping up in a hurry on us here. Want to remind everybody about the Blue Liner Golf Tournament coming up on July the 16th. It'll be at Wild Bluff Golf Course out at Bay Mills. That's a great track if you want to have a good time. Get involved in that. It's an 18-hole tournament this year, or an 18-hole event this year, and the proceeds go to help Laker Hockey there. That's sponsored by the Blue Liners. Also, the Lake State Classic is down at Treetops this year, back in Gaylord for the first time in about 6 or 8 years, and that'll be on the 23rd of July. So lots of golf events coming up. They're all fundraisers, and in some way they all help Laker Hockey a little bit. Don't forget the Blue Liner Banquet coming up March the 31st, a Thursday night, 6:15 p.m. That'll be at the Sisler Center. $20 for adults, $10 for kids 5 to 12. You can get tickets in advance at the information desk in the Norris Center, just outside the Student Activity Center. That's a new setup they have there. And you can buy them with a credit card over the phone, 635-2602. One last question for Damon here. We talked a little bit about staff, et cetera. You never know what's going to happen. Pete Aubrey left you in the summer last year. That was kind of a surprise to everybody. He went to the Blackhawks organization, which is good for him. Doug Holliba comes in, did a great job, I thought, this year. We've got guys like Tyler Dobratz, really good strength coach for us, great cooperative young guy. He's going to leave. We know he's going to Ohio University. You see anything else going on here? How do you replace these people? We don't have a lot of money or budget, et cetera. That's got to be a tough thing to deal with right there, because they're important parts of the program.
Yeah, well, they're huge. I mean, that role is such an important role. So, you know, the timing of it will be better this year. So it'll be we'll have, you know, knowing with Tyler, you know, we're already have some people in mind and some things going on that way. So, you know, people want to be involved with this program. There's a lot of quality people that would love to be part of Laker hockey. So we'll find a really quality individual for that role. You know, obviously in terms of Rich and Doug, and if the right opportunity comes, I would certainly encourage those guys. You know, I know Rich has had coaching experience already, and so if the right opportunity comes, I'm sure he would look at that a little bit. Obviously this community means a ton to him and is important to him, so we don't anticipate anything right now, but you never know what'll happen. And we'll do exit meetings as a staff too, as we get through our players and later on here, and see what they're going on. But we have a great relationships everywhere, you know, and it's open communication. So I know we'll know and have a better planning. You just hope if it does happen again, it's not as late this time. And I don't think it would have worked out any better. Like maybe it's the best way it did because Doug has done a tremendous job, and Rich and Doug have a great relationships too. So it's been very good for our staff and our program. We're in a great spot. We're really excited. I want to thank Chris and Antlers for hosting us all year. Thank the Blue Line Club. I know there's some members here, but we had a great meeting a week or two ago, and they just did a great gift for the program to help us treat our players the way they need to be treated, and what we want to do to make sure we're treating them at the right level, and they mean a lot. I know you mentioned earlier there's a lot of ways to join and help out, so we appreciate all our fans and students, all the support we've gotten this year. It's again, I still don't think the season's over. I feel like we're going to jump on the ice for practice tomorrow, so it'll sink in and be very difficult, but again, the excitement's there, and we're working hard to continue to move this thing forward.
Well, you're doing a great job. I think we all appreciate that. We want to thank all the fans for being here all season long. This is our last show. We'll be back in the fall, we hope. You never know about stuff like that. But our plans now are to be back with another Laker hockey show. It'll probably start in late September or early October. I want to thank Wade Tiebert for being with us here tonight at the Antlers, doing our engineering, and Frank Blissett back at the radio station. He's been with us all season. That's our last Laker hockey show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. We'll make sure it's podcast on ESPN 1400.